This is NPR's Ask Me Another, sort of. Welcome back to our first Work From Home edition. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. Okay, so now's the part of the episode where we're going to call our next special guest and friend of the show. We couldn't think of anyone better to join us right now. She is a Pulitzer Prize winner and a TV critic for The New Yorker. Her book is called I Like to Watch, Arguing My Way Through the TV Revolution, and it's available now. It's Emily Nussbaum.
Hello. Hello.
Hi,
thanks,
Emily.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for zooming in from your home. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's been kind of a weird week.
Yeah.
As I'm sure it has been for everybody.
Emily, I saw on Twitter that you actually had a COVID-19 scare. Are you okay? How are you doing?
Yes. I mean, I'm fine now. I'm feeling well and I'm home. And I also ended up getting a test and testing negative. But last week I had a fever and a cough. So
Specifically,
the reason I started talking about it online was because I felt like for New Yorkers, this was particularly a conundrum. How do you quarantine within your own home? And we have a pretty big place comparably, but it's hard to do in a small apartment. So I was curious how other people were doing it. But also I wanted to talk publicly about it because I felt like there was this awkward moment that was a little bit early in the process where people were uncomfortable talking publicly about having symptoms and what was going on. And I wanted to create a conversation,
sure,
which is what Twitter's for. So, but I'm not an expert on this. I am a TV critic who had a fever. So,
but as a writer, you are right. You're in the situation where you can continue to work. And of course, I mean, you know, not that I would want this situation to exist, but right now everybody is watching a lot of stuff. So I'm pretty happy that you were able to join us. It is extra timely.
It's weird timing for me because I just stopped being the television critic. I'm on a year-long book leave, and while I'm watching some TV, it's no longer my job to watch all the TV and then produce a column every 2 weeks. So I timed that for the pandemic, which I think was very savvy. But a lot of people are
perfect.
A lot of people have been trading advice. I don't know, what are you guys watching?
We finished The Good Place, which, because we were just behind on that, so that was. Oh. Yeah, that was beautiful.
Note, on our Zoom channel, I just clutched my chest in love for The Good Place and all of Mike Schur's beautiful, humane sitcoms. It's very funny when it's such a funny thing when shows suddenly have weirdly relevant elements to them. The Good Place seems particularly designed to mimic this.
Jonathan, what were you saying that you were watching the other day?
We've been watching Babylon Berlin over here, which is a sort of detective story that takes place during the Weimar Republic era in Germany between the wars. It's subtitled in German, which sounds like it would be a real deal breaker, but I enjoy it. It's a nice little detective mystery, and it's also style-wise, it's very cool, the clothes and the bizarre musical numbers and the various people in drag, and it's pretty interesting.
That does seem like good watching for this. The combination of wartime Germany and fabulous drag queen dancing seems good. I've been watching the new season of High Maintenance and combined it and alternated it with watching Curb Your Enthusiasm, which I was joking was a combination of like humanity and inhumanity. It is actually weirdly effective as an almost I like this idea of medicinally combining shows. I used to have this thing where I would watch The Americans and then watch The Broad City afterwards. And I was like, this is like a great cocktail because this is incredibly moving and bleak show that's devastating. And then it's this kind of, you know, twisted, funny, joyful comedy. So I think that that's what you should do is sort of
that's
not just find the right
funny
show, but find the right combination of shows.
I have to ask you because you've saved me many times with your thoughts on television.
I am a television savior.
But one in particular. So of course, you know, I do stand up, as you know, and I often perform for Jewish organizations or even at temples for their fundraisers. And of course, every time is that everyone runs up to me either before or after the gig and says to me, oh my goodness, do you just love The Marvelous Miss Maisel?
I knew exactly where this was going.
And I almost want to lie to them now and just say yes.
because
saying no makes them so upset.
I have experienced this. I wrote a relatively notorious pan of Mrs. Maisel in the second season.
Yeah, and the main reason I didn't attach to it is because it's about a woman doing stand up in the past, and really just she has a real easy time.
Yeah, she's the best stand-up ever. She loves herself and experiences no internalized misogyny, and everybody's delighted with that, because when she gets on stage and does routines about loving herself, people cheer and applaud, and she's beautiful, and she's the most beautiful. I mean, there's a lot of problems with it.
Yeah, and it's like
Joan Rivers, but without self-hate, which, as we know, was Joan Rivers' incredible magic power, was her ability to be a mirror for women and men's hatred of women.
Right. Emily, you're writing a new book.
Well, yes, I am. I am trying to. I was up until I spiked a FEMA.
Yes, yes.
But I'm working on a book that is about early reality television. It's about reality TV up to 2004. A lot of it goes from around 1992 when The Real World came out through 2004, where I decided to end with The Apprentice. The book itself is going to be about the creation of what is hard to not acknowledge, whether you like reality or not, this incredibly vibrant, important, unbelievably influential genre in American pop culture and worldwide pop culture. There are numerous negative things you can say about reality TV, some of which I would agree with, including that without reality TV, this would not be our president. That's just the case, I think. But when I started writing the book, I was feeling a mild sense of dread, as I think many people do when they go into book projects. And the more I started researching stuff and talking to people, the more excited I got. So I'm hoping that this will be a good distraction.
So, hey, we have a couple games for you. Emily, do you want to play a game about some reality television?
Nothing could be better. Bring it on.
So we have pulled a quote from a reality television show, and Jonathan and I are going to read the quote, and then you're just going to tell us what reality show it's from.
Okay.
Okay. Let's start easy. The tribe has spoken.
Survivor.
Yeah. Season 40. What? We're on season 40?
That's wild.
How is that even possible?
It was such a, that show was such a crazy phenomenon. I don't know if you remember, but it was the equivalent of what happened with the Kardashians later on, where like every op-ed had to mention Survivor as a sign of how degraded the culture was. And so right. There were just a million things, and it was always about the bug eating. And then it was such a big hit that like 2 or 3 years later, I don't want to exaggerate, but like at a certain point, everybody was like, that's the beautiful old school athletic traveling
totally.
Show.
All right. How about That's Hot?
That's the Simple Life.
Yeah, Paris
I'm,
Hilton.
I'm actually better at this than I thought there would be like some, I thought I'd have some trouble because I don't remember everything from the period. But that definitely was the beginning of this sort of strange period of having shows about hot but extremely mockable young rich girls. Like there's just a bunch of them, and it led into The Real Housewives later. I mean, I don't have very well-formed thoughts on this, but I think there was a period around the turn of the century that was just... It was just contempt central. It was just a big national upskirting of privileged young girls, you know, some of whom leaned into it. Like, it was just a whole thing going on.
All right, how about this one?
Okay.
I was rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. How dare you?
Oh, okay, wait a second. I was rooting for you. Oh, is that, that's America's Top Model.
Yeah, that's right. America's Next Top Model.
See, that is a great phrase, though. I will say the catchphrases from reality shows really
pretty
come
solid.
In handy in real life. So, yeah.
All right, here's your last one. One day you're in, and the next you're out.
Got it. I know this, but one day you're in, and the
one day you're in, and the next you're out.
Okay, is this the Oaf Wiedersehen show? Where is it Project Runway?
It is Project Runway.
Okay, because the phrases I know from that are Oof Wiedersehen and Make It Work. So
was way back to Heidi.
I was like, that's like a nice niche catchphrase there. But you did a great accent for it. So it was hard.
I was helping out. I was helping out with the delivery.
All right, Emily, you did great. Do you have a little bit more time? I mean,
sure,
do you have nothing but time?
I have nothing but time. When has a person who is simultaneously working on a book and quarantined from a massive disease not been the ideal person to be like, you want to talk some more? Like, I'm simultaneously fleeing reality and procrastinating.
So, all right, we have a special treat for you. Jonathan Coulton, as you know, is in his home studio. And he's going to serenade you in the form of a music parody quiz about TV shows.
Oh, amazing.
All right, so what we did is we rewrote TV sitcom theme songs to make them about TV dramas.
Great.
So you'll get, there's no points. I was going to describe how many points you're going to get, but you just consider now that you already have all the points because we like you.
Wonderful. Play me a song, Jonathan Coulton.
All right, I'm going to play you several songs. Here we go. Here's your first one. We're married to each other, but it's mostly just our cover, and the truth of it is quite a surprise. We're your Cold War enemy, we're loyal to the KGB, our kids don't even know our family's made of lies. It's all right, deep cover Soviet spies.
The Americans. Great
The Americans
show.
Is correct. Yeah.
Oh, I love that show so much. That if everybody is just sitting there distracting themselves, watch this incredibly bleak show that will depress the hell out of you, but also make you think very deep thoughts, not just about politics, but about human intimacy.
Do you know the theme song? Do you know the sitcom that theme song was from?
No, actually, I don't. Like, what is that?
That was Saved by the Bell. All right, here's your next one. Tell me how I traveled back in time. Tell me if this kind of bigamy's a crime. I hung out with some stones. Now I'm nursing this tall red-headed dude. Gonna have his Scottish baby.
Okay, that's Doctor Who, although I initially thought it was Quantum Leap. Thank you for the redhead
touch.
It is not
Doctor Who.
It's not Doctor Who? Okay, wait a second.
No. Like,
it's very hard to...
Traveling back in time. There's a little bigamy involved.
Okay. It's Outlander.
Outlander, yes.
Outlander, really good option for people wanting to binge and enjoying certain kinds of aspects of Outlander, which are delightful. Outlander's
it's a really well done show. Ripper.
There's a lot of time travel shows that. So let me think. Head into the final frontier. Mad About You.
Yeah. That's right.
That's a show which just had a truly misbegotten but strangely fascinating reboot. Did you know that?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I have not seen it. How is the reboot?
I liked Mad About You, the original Mad About You. I mean, it isn't perfect, but I thought it was a pretty good sitcom. And I'm curious about this sort of Pet Sematary approach to old sitcoms where they never quite come back quite the same. So I watched this one, and the first few episodes were really terrible, like kind of fascinatingly so. I mean, I like the performers, but they were really bad in ways I won't get into depth on. But I was a little obsessed with it, and I watched like 6 or 7 episodes nonsensically. I wasn't even going to write about it. I was just curious. But yeah, the bringing back old sitcoms. But that's a lovely song.
All right, here's another one. I'm obsessed with you. Villanelle, you're my bae. So obsessed with you. You're a psycho, but that's okay. Still obsessed with you. You're obsessed with me too.
French theme song, Killing Eve. I'm getting a little better at this.
Like, yeah, you nailed it.
This is a great job you guys have. That's cool.
All right, this is your last one.
Okay.
Here we go. Everywhere you look, there's a face that could win you a trophy. Every time you vote, make it fierce, 'cause pray tell is the MC. Don't be lost out there, you don't need to roam. Evangelist is a house that's a home. Work that ballroom look, shoo-be-doo-bop-ba-da.
Evangelista, is it? God, I got really confused partway through that one.
Pray Tell is the MC.
Oh, it's Pose.
It's Pose. Yeah.
Of course. What was I thinking? It's the House of Evangel. That's terrible. Yeah, it's particularly terrible because I was literally on the set of Pose. Like, I wrote a profile of Ryan Murphy.
I know, you wrote a
big
piece.
While they were making it, it's shocking that I didn't get that. I got a little confused by trophies, and because I've been thinking about reality, I got way
right, right, right,
but,
of course. You got reality on the brain.
Yeah, exactly.
How about the theme?
Everywhere you look, everywhere you go. I know so
right.
many.
You know it, but you don't know the show, right? That's about where I was with this.
Yeah,
too.
It's familiar. It's Full House or something, right?
Like Full House.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
that's this is a great game.
Thank you. It's fun. It was very fun.
Emily, you did great. I'm glad you're doing great, and you did great. Thank you so much for playing these games with us and being such a good friend to the show, being part of our show. And of course, all of you out there, you want a great book to read. Emily's book, I Like to Watch, Arguing My Way Through the TV Revolution, is available now.
Thank you so much for having me. It was wonderful.
And that's our show. You know, before I go, obviously we are not taping in front of a live audience at the Bell House, but we want to know that you're out there. So we set up an Ask Me Another hotline and asked you to call in and tell us how social distancing has changed your behavior. Like, what's the most out-of-character thing that you've done? And we've got some really fun answers. So hit the track.
Hi, my name is Matthew Ebersole from Gloucester, Virginia.
This is Mel Dockery, and I'm in New York City.
Madison from Louisville, Kentucky.
Alice Swabeck from Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Hi, this is Liz calling from Orlando. And the most out-of-character thing that I've done is washing my dish right after I use it.
I just swept my front porch, like, with a broom, like my great-grandmother.
Cleaning my bathroom in between gulping down very hot liquids and blowing a hairdryer up my sinuses.
My husband studies Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and since he can't go to class, I am his new drilling partner. I've never done martial arts in my life.
I have decided to every day to floss my teeth, like all of them.
I recently sent a selfie to my friends. They said that it must be the end of the world because I'm sharing selfies with them.
I would say the most out-of-character thing I've done is wanted to hug all of my coworkers. I am not a hugger or a toucher, and I miss them so much. I've planned each and every hug out for when we returned. So, I really love the show, and I hope this goes away soon. The COVID, not the show. Bye.
So until next time, we're still here. We're going to keep working from home to help take your mind off things. Ask Me Another's house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Hey, my name anagrams to Thou Jolt a Cannon.
Our puzzles are written by Carol Lee, Ruth Morrison, and senior writer Karen Lurie, with additional material by Kara Weinberger and Emily Winter. Ask Me Another is produced by Travis Larchuk, Kiara Powell, Nancy Seychow, James Sparber, Ramel Wood, and our intern Nick Garrison. Our senior supervising producer is Rachel Neal.
El Ranch Eel.
And our boss's bosses are Steve Nelson and Anya Grunman. We'd like to thank our production partner, WNYC, and we can't wait to get back to our home at the Bell House.
Hot Heel Blues.
Lots of love to you guys. I'm her ripe begonias.
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR.